the gut punch of hearing those three dreadful words, you have cancer. It's like the floor just dropped out from underneath you and you're in a free fall. Fear, anger, grief, a tidal wave of emotions crashing over you. But it doesn't have to be this way. Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Deming. As an integrative oncologist and former radiation oncologist who has cared for thousands of patients over her career, let me guide you safely through the fog. Join my Six Pillars of Healing Cancer workshop series. Starting May 2nd, I'll unleash the proven holistic roadmap to clarity and deep inner calm. I'll impart the fundamental nutritional, emotional, physical, and spiritual keys to unlocking your own body's healing potential. No more grasping for answers just out of reach. No more of the unknown weighing you down. Registration is open now. Check the link in this episode's description to anchor yourself to this life-changing series. You've got this.
What's the cost to your health of carrying around emotional baggage that nobody sees? Today, we're talking to Dr. Bradley Nelson, a pioneer in emotional and body healing and the author of The Emotion Code. His methods have helped thousands of people in over 80 countries reclaim their health and happiness. Dr. Nelson will share how his revolutionary techniques have led to dramatic health turnarounds, from chronic pain disappearing to lifelong anxieties melting away. Stay with us until the end to learn how you can start lightening your load and start living a more fulfilling life. You're listening to the Born to Heal podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Katie Deming. After two decades of practicing as an oncologist and caring for thousands of patients, I've seen firsthand how our healthcare system places obstacles in your path to true healing. My guests and I will bridge the worlds of Western medicine and alternative healing to help you achieve optimal health. Expect to uncover new insights, share a few laughs, and maybe even shed some tears along the way. But most of all, we'll learn how to heal from within together. So let's dive into today's episode.
I am thrilled to be interviewing Dr. Bradley Nelson, the creator of Emotion Code, Body Code, and Belief Code. Welcome, Dr. Brad.
Thank you, Katie. It's really great to be here. I'm excited to be on your show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to have you. So I think actually a good place to start might be to explain what is the emotion code? And that's actually what initially brought me to you. I know you have the body code and the belief code, and I want to talk about those things today, but I first heard about you through the emotion code. And so I'd love to start there.
Okay, absolutely. Well, let me give you a little bit of groundwork to help everybody understand how all of this came about. Starting back in the early 1980s, I was a computer programmer, and I had a business called The Computer Tutor, and I would go into people's businesses. You know, they'd buy a brand new IBM PC, and there was no software back in those days. So I would go in and I would write the software so they could use computers, you know, for their businesses. And it was really fun. And I thought I'd be doing that forever. But when I was 13 years old, I was healed of kidney disease by some holistic doctors. They were old time osteopathic doctors that didn't prescribe any drugs or anything like that. And just through manipulation and some other things, they were able to get me well in a very short period of time. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to do what they did. But then I discovered computers, and I kind of got sidetracked into that and just was head over heels in love with, you know, IT. And then it was a question that my father asked me that brought back in the winter of 83, 84, that kind of brought me back to a point where I needed to decide for sure what I was going to do, if I was going to stay in computers or if I was going to this, back to this original dream of mine to go into the healing arts. And it was actually a very powerful answer to prayer that I received to go into the healing arts. So I did. And so I went to chiropractic school, and I helped put myself through school by doing programming for the school, programming the admissions office computers and things. It was a lot of fun. But I remember one day my neurology instructor was up at the blackboard, and he was kind of riffing on how the brain is a computer. And I was sitting there with all the other students, and I was thinking, wow, the brain's a computer. I wonder if we'll ever have the technology to be able to access all the information that must be in that computer? Will we ever be able to hack into it? Will we ever discover a back end so that we can actually get information from that computer? Because, gee, there must be a lot of information in there. It must know what's really wrong with people, why they're having symptoms. And I remember thinking, well, maybe in 200 or 300 years, we might have that kind of technology. Little did I know that that's exactly what I was going to be spending my whole career on. So I practiced for about 18 years or so. And during the years that I was in practice, I was really obsessed with getting to the underlying root causes of what was wrong with my patients. And so as a chiropractor, of course, I started off just working with realignment of the bones of the spine and so on. And then I gradually branched out more and more as I was seeking to really get to the root causes of my patients' problems. So I was studying everything that I could, ancient healing methods, modern healing methods, and anything that I could learn. And I kept what worked and discarded what didn't. And I also had a secret weapon. And that secret weapon was that I was always asking for help from up above. I mean, none of my patients ever knew this, but it was a totally private, totally personal habit that I had. But before I would go to work on someone, I would just take a moment and I would ask for help from up above, because I figured, you know, God's gotten me into this. Maybe God will help me. And I'll tell you something, Katie, there were times in response to those asks, that asking for help, when information would just flood in to me about what to do with this person and how to help them and how to perceive what was going on and understand what was happening. And that didn't happen very often. But I learned from that higher power, you know, God, source energy, creator, whatever you want to call it, the universe, I think it's all the same. That higher power is definitely there and available for the asking. And so if we ask, we receive and so on. So anyway, one of the things that I found was that the subconscious mind of each individual is essentially a computer, right? And I think we know that. We kind of realize that. We know what the subconscious mind does, you know, something, that automatic part of us that's unconscious is keeping air moving in and out of our lungs and keeping our hearts beating and running all these trillions of chemical reactions every minute that are going on in our bodies, keeping us alive from one moment to the next, right? And what I came to understand is that that internal computer is, it's definitely a computer, but it's almost like an alien computer. I mean, imagine trying to decipher an alien computer. Let's say a UFO lands and you have access to it and you walk inside of it and there's no screens and there's no keyboard. We wouldn't know what to do, because that's what we're used to with computers. We're used to accessing them. Like, I'm sitting at my laptop here. I've got a screen where I can see information. I got a keyboard. The subconscious mind has no screen. It has no keyboard, yet it's a computer. How do we access it? Well, what I have found is that subconscious mind communicates to us through our symptoms, the symptoms we experience. And those symptoms are things like physical pain, you know, migraines, low back pain, neck pain, knee pain, etc. Things like depression and anxiety and phobias and panic attacks and PTSD and eating disorders and infertility and asthma and all kinds of things, including every disease process that we suffer from. All of those things you need to think of as symptoms, right? They're all really symptoms. They're communications from the subconscious mind that there's something else going on. So I came to understand that while Western medicine views all of those problems, all the symptoms we experience as the problem itself, really all of those things should be thought of as symptoms that should be the beginning of a dialogue with the subconscious, right? The subconscious internal computer, which wants help and is communicating to us in the only way that it can, through symptoms. There's no screen for this alien computer. But as a computer programmer, what that did is it set me up to understand how to communicate with the subconscious mind. And I was able to use some methods that had been developed by other people, and something that's called kinesthetic testing or muscle testing, where you can ask questions of the subconscious mind and you can get answers. And so imagine going to Google, and imagine if you could ask questions, but imagine if Google were a binary system so that it could only answer a yes. It could give you a yes or a no. And so it would be a lot different than the way that it works now. You'd have to think about how to formulate your questions so that you could get a yes and a no. You'd still be able to get to the bottom line. You'd be able to get to the result, but you'd have to think of things in a different way. And that's how the subconscious mind works. It's a binary computer. So we can ask questions and we can get answers from the subconscious mind as yeses and nos. And what that looks like really is a strong muscle, for example, for yes, or a weak muscle for no. And so this kind of muscle testing usually manifests, or it's usually seen where, for example, if I were there with you, and if you were to hold one arm out parallel to the floor, if you were to make a true statement like, my name is Katie, if I were to press down on your outstretched arm, you'd be able to resist me. And that's a strong answer. That's a yes answer coming from the subconscious, which is connected to the physical body. If you were to make an untrue statement like, my name is Jim or something like that, you would not be able to resist the downward pressure. And that's a no answer coming from the subconscious mind. So it's actually very simple, this interface. So the subconscious mind, although it's incredibly complex to a point where we really can't, I think, comprehend it. I think it's divine in origin. And so it's beyond our ability to comprehend. Nevertheless, in terms of its interface, it's a binary computer. So what I found is in my practice, I could ask questions and get yeses and nos, and it could take me by simply using a process of elimination, I could get to the underlying root causes of what was wrong with my patients. And one of the first things that I learned in communicating, talking to the subconscious minds of my patients, one after the other, day after day, week after week, year after year, was that everyone, all my patients, no matter what they were suffering from, whether it was something physical or mental or emotional, they all had something in common. The most common underlying cause of their symptoms was actually something that I came to call emotional baggage. Now, let me explain how this works. And to set the stage for this, you have to understand that these bodies of ours are, of course, made of pure energy. We're beings made of pure energy. And if you ask any quantum physicist, they'll tell you, of course, that's true. You know, if you take a big enough microscope and you zoom in on your hand, for example, and you pass the level of the cells and you go past the molecules down to the level of the atom, you'd see there's nothing really in the atom. It's just empty space. And the next atom is a long distance away. And that's really what we are. Well, we have these emotional experiences and we experience emotions all the time, but emotions are very special. When you start to feel an emotion, some stimulus occurs, you hear something, say something, you think something, you see something, whatever. There's a certain emotion that will often start to come up for us automatically. And that's a message from the deep subconscious. When that emotion is coming up, it's really a vibration. It's a frequency. Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy and frequency and vibration, right? And so everything is energy, frequency, and vibration, and emotions are no different. And every emotion has its own specific vibrational frequency, right? So anger is different than grief and so on. Well, when you're feeling a certain emotion, it's like a little, it's what I call the emotional loop. So we start to feel that emotion and we start into that emotional process, that little loop. And as that emotion is being felt, you know, you might think the thoughts that go along with that emotion. You might even feel some physical sensations with that emotion. And most of the time, what we do is we allow that emotion to be felt. We acknowledge it, and then we allow it to dissipate its energy, and that loop gets closed, and that experience is over, and we move on to the next emotional experience. And this happens to us, you know, multiple times a day. But sometimes what happens is we interrupt that process. Sometimes an emotion is starting to come up for us, and we make a decision that we're not going to go there. We're not going to allow this experience to happen, and so we bottle up or we bury that emotion, we push it down. And so that experience then, that little emotional loop that was trying to complete now is stuck open. We have an open loop now. And the energy of that emotion that was trying to manifest now is kind of suspended in a way in the body. It's like a little ball of emotional energy. And that's what these are. We call these trapped emotions. Now, another way that trapped emotions are formed is if you're feeling an emotion and you're starting into that emotional loop and you make a conscious decision that you're going to become really involved with that emotion and you choose to amplify that frequency and get really upset. And we have all done this, right? We all do this. And that also can result in the formation of an open loop where that energy also was trying to just come in and then go out, kind of like the waves of the ocean, right? Kind of like breathing in and breathing out. But now it's stuck open. So you have another open loop. Sometimes things happen to us also that are just overwhelmingly powerful emotionally, and that can also create an open loop. So what I found was all of my patients had these open loops. They had the energy of these emotional experiences that were trapped in their bodies. And I found that by asking questions, I could not only identify what the emotion was, but also if I needed to, I could figure out when it occurred and what it was about. And I found that when I would identify these and release these, amazing things would happen. For example, I remember I had a man that came into me many years ago suffering from really serious low back pain. It was about a 9 on a 0 to 10 scale, been going on for a while, number of weeks. I tested him using the emotion code. And if you can imagine, so he's got his arms stretched straight out. I'm asking questions, really talking to his subconscious mind. And his body is involuntarily giving me responses, strong for yes, weak for no. And we have a chart of emotions that looks like this. And I was able to ask what emotion this was. And I was taken to, column A, row 4. And the first emotion there is anger. And that was the emotion. And so I asked if we needed to know any more about this. I got a yes answer. And so I asked when this had occurred. And I got that it was 20 years earlier. And immediately he spoke and said, okay, I know what that's about. And what had happened, he explained, was that he was working at this business and he was wrongfully accused of basically stealing. And he was really upset. You know, there's nothing quite like being wrongfully accused, right? And he was really angry about it. And that energy became trapped in his body. And so I asked if there was anything else we needed to know. The answer was no from his subconscious. And so I just took a magnet and swiped a few times down the middle of his back with an intention to release that energy, essentially closing that loop and allowing that stored emotional energy to just dissipate and disappear. And the result was that his pain level went from a 9 to a 0 like that instantly. And I mean, he couldn't believe it. He kept walking around the room and bending this way and that way and twisting and exclaiming. And, you know, it was like a miracle for him. And I was grateful that it worked so well. So think about this. Why did that happen? Well, what I've come to understand is that when you have a trapped emotion like this, it's a ball of emotional energy. And it creates a distorting force, is how you can think of this. So here's this guy for 20 years. He's had this energy of anger trapped in his low back. From being wrongfully accused, it's creating this distorting force in that part of his body. It's interfering with the normal structure, the normal flow of his energy field. So all the chemical reactions taking place within that little sphere of energy are a little bit distorted. Maybe the blood flow's limited or, you know, distorted a little bit. Maybe the lymph flow chemical reactions going on in that area are going to be distorted. And the flow of the meridian energy in that area as well. So when I release that energy suddenly, that area of his body, those tissues could breathe, and the end result is that the pain is gone. Now, so the pain was a symptom, but the cause was the emotional event from 20 years before. So the interesting thing is a couple of days later, he came back into me and he said, you know, he said, my back pain is still gone. I still can't quite believe it, but he said, you know, when I came in here, I had another problem I didn't tell you about. He said, for as long as I can remember, I've basically been what you'd call a rageaholic. And he said, I'm always yelling at my wife and my kids. He said, I'm just wired so tight. He said, I've been to anger management several times, hasn't really helped me. And he said, since you released that trapped emotion of anger for me, I just feel really different. I feel relaxed. He said, things that used to set me off don't set me off anymore. How did you do that? How does that work? And at the time I said, well, I don't know, but because I wasn't sure. But think about it this way, okay? This guy had this ball of energy, this literally a ball of anger in his low back. Now, if you think of the body in terms of energy, then what was going on in his life is when a situation would come along where he might tend to feel the emotion of anger, he would feel it much more easily, much more readily than he otherwise would have. Why? Because part of his body was vibrating at that frequency 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so when we released that energy suddenly, it changed his personality because now that energy, that part of his body is not vibrating at that frequency anymore. And so we see this kind of thing all the time. It changes people's personalities. It lifts them from where they are to a higher level of vibration, really, It enables them to have feelings of peace, to be able to forgive other people. It opens their ability to love others. And it's really an amazing thing, not to mention all of the physical effects that it has. During the years I was in practice, I found that about 90% of all the people's pain that I was dealing with was actually due wholly or in part to emotional baggage. Think about that. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing. But, you know, we've certified almost 13,000 practitioners now in around 80 countries around the world. We're all experiencing the same thing. I mean, this is just the reality of who we are. See, Einstein said the medicine of the future will be the medicine of frequencies. And when he said that, nobody had any idea what he was talking about. And here we are, 2024, and we're starting to see what it looks like. And it doesn't look anything like Western medicine at all. It's completely different because it doesn't have anything to do with drugs or surgery. It has to do with treating these bodies of ours, these divine creations that we are, for what they are. And what they are is energy. Pure energy. Anyway, the beautiful thing about the work that that I've been privileged to help bring into the world is that it's about communicating with that internal computer that knows with a perfect understanding what's wrong with the patient, what's wrong with you. You can tap into that computer. You can ask questions. Now we understand it's a binary computer. We know how to talk to it now. And the emotion code is about that. It's easy. It's fast. So easy. Kids can do it and are having, you know, great success with it, by the way. The body code, which is about all the other kinds of imbalances that we suffer from that create symptoms, things like pathogens, things like toxins in the body, deficiencies of nutrients, things like that, disconnections between the spirit and the physical body and all kinds of imbalances. And then the belief code is something new that we just launched in October. And what it is a way to use the subconscious mind to identify the negative belief systems that you've built up during your life. And a negative belief system, essentially, we have found consists of connected negative statements that you have come to subconsciously believe. Like, say your dad tells you over and over, well, you're never going to amount to anything. The subconscious mind, which doesn't really make any judgments about anything, it only draws conclusions. It might decide, hey, I'm never going to amount to anything. Then that can become part of your operating system. Then other negative statements can get attached to that. I'll never amount to anything. Therefore, I can't ever be successful. Therefore, I'll never find love. Therefore, nobody likes me. And you can form these trees of negative beliefs in the subconscious mind. We now know how to identify those and actually delete those and knock them right out. That's the belief code. So anyway, that was kind of a mouthful, but anyway.
Actually, I was like, wow. And I love this description of how you came upon this and how you see it and how it works. I feel like that was a beautiful explanation and really helped me, who already knows a little bit about this, to really understand what you're talking about. And the thing that I, you know, was thinking about with that gentleman that you were talking about with the anger and the back pain. And then it's like the whole, you know, we attract what we are vibrating, right? It's like mirrors for us. And so for him, he had this anger loop, like you said, that was open, that was just, you know, continually running there. So then he was attracted, like anger was basically attracting, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is what you're attracting. And so you're closing these loops, releasing it, so then they can become lighter and more fluid and move up that. And I hate to think about emotions as this like scale that you're trying to just move up. But like you described, it's the goal of to learn how to move through our emotions, right? We're emotional beings. And like you described, they're a wave that they're intended to experience and run through. And I see this in my practice. So, you know, as a radiation oncologist, I practiced for 20 years and saw, you know, most of my specialty was breast cancers and a lot of suppression. Like I can just tell you, I saw a lot of emotional suppression. And that was one of the things that led me to leave, is realizing there's this big emotional component tied into physical illness. And as you described, I love the idea of thinking of the subconscious as a computer and this binary system, and that it has information and that you can use the yes, no questioning as a way to access the information. It's just like, I love that you just took that and you just went on because you gave such a beautiful explanation. I really understand it much more deeply, and I'm sure my listeners will too after hearing that. So thank you for that.
Hey, conscious healers. Dr. Katie Deming here. I've created an intimate space where we dive deeper into complex healing topics, where you can get personalized product recommendations and more resources to fuel your conscious healing journey. I'm excited to announce that I've launched the Born to Heal Substack newsletter. You'll receive exclusive information that goes beyond the 1 hour a week we have here together, behind the scenes interviews, delicious healing recipes, and on occasion, episodes get a bit too, you know, sciencey. So I'll create a handy FAQ for those episodes. Subscribe for free today at katiedemingmd.substack.com or find the link in the episode description and get ready for a weekly infusion of holistic health wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the truth of it. You know, truth sometimes is stranger than fiction. You know, here we've had these bodies all these untold thousands of years. Meanwhile, and we've been trying to figure out, you know, how do they work? I mean, well, it wasn't that long ago that the idea was if you were sick, it was because your blood was bad or you had too much blood or whatever. So they'd drain blood out of you. And if you survived that, then they knew that that worked. So we're really not that far from that now. I mean, if you think about it, in Western medicine, you know, the answer is to suppress these symptoms for the most part, right? Meanwhile, the symptoms are the way that this binary computer is expressing itself to us through these symptoms. And I've come to understand, Katie, that these symptoms can be basically anything that is less than the perfect life that you want to be living. You know, you can't find your soulmate. Guess what? That's a symptom. You know, you can't make enough money. You can't seem to break through the ceiling. Guess what? That's also a symptom. It can be, there can be, like I talked about with the belief code, you can have negative belief systems in there. You can have emotional baggage. You can have emotional energies built up around the heart that can create a heart wall that can make it harder for you to give love and receive love. And it's really such a fascinating time that we're living now because all of this information is coming out about who we really are and what we're really capable of. Meanwhile, the Western medical model is, of course, tremendously valid for acute problems, right? I mean, Western medicine is great at acute problems, acute issues, and it will always be needed. I mean, people are always going to have traumatic things, but the problem is applying the Western model of medicine to everything, and it doesn't work for everything. It works great for acute problems, but most of the time, most people don't need to be taking some kind of petrochemical pharmaceutical drug. Most of the time, most people don't need surgery. Most of the time, what they need to do is communicate with their own internal computer and ask, well, why am I having this symptom? You know, what's really going on? It's very willing to give its answers, which is just an amazing thing. But I never would have been able to figure this out if I hadn't been a computer programmer all those years ago, because that helped me to, you know, to have a kind of a paradigm for all of this.
Yeah. Well, and I love that because it's just an example of how we are exactly where we're meant to be. And for you, having that computer programming background was exactly designed in this way so that you could, in your practice, recognize that there's a system that could access this information. And that's helpful for me to think about because sometimes as I've left Western medicine, I'm like, well, why did I become an oncologist and spend 20 years doing that? But now I realize, well, all of that happened for a reason too, because I deeply understand this system. And yeah, as I step out and bring in this other information, I can understand how they work together or not and how the big picture, you know, all fits together, you know? So I think that it's one of those things, we all have our experiences for a reason and it brings us so that we can, you know, come up with new ways of practicing our own art. And I love this art that you've created. And actually, I'm happy that you brought up the idea of the heart wall, because that was one of the things that I was curious about in reading about your work. I'm wondering, can you talk a little bit about the heart wall?
Absolutely. It's really the most important part of the emotion code. And let me just say that there were times in my practice before this was shown to us about the heart, I would come away from visits with patients and I would just have this nagging feeling that there was something missing. I was missing something. There was emotional baggage that this person had that I wasn't able to find, and, you know, for some reason. Well, eventually what happened was my wife had a dream. And to make a long story short, we tell the whole story in the Emotion Code book. But she asked me if I would help her to decipher the dream. There were some symbols in her dream. And we were able to figure out the first couple of symbols and what they meant. There were actually some inherited emotional energies, because we can receive energy at conception from mom or dad, and those can go back for generations. And when I turned my attention to the last symbol from her dream, and this might sound crazy, but I swear this is true. What happened was I had what I can only describe as a waking vision, where suddenly the room that I was in disappeared. And instead, I'm seeing this unbelievably beautiful hardwood floor. And as I'm seeing this, and by the way, this was high def, 3D. I mean, it was the craziest thing that I've ever experienced. And as I'm seeing this, and this lasts for about 3 minutes, by the way, I have this understanding that comes into my mind that my wife's heart is underneath this floor. And I have no idea what this means, but it's persisting. And I tell my wife what I'm seeing and understanding. She has no idea what it means either. And so we said a prayer, asked God to help us. And then I started muscle testing her, asking her subconscious mind, her binary computer, what this is. And what we found was, when she was about age 2, she started to put up a wall around her heart. And that wall was made of layers of these emotional energies that had accumulated in her body. And so the price that she paid for having all of this emotional energy wrapped around her heart, we came to call this a heart wall, was that it was easy for her to feel negative emotions, harder to feel positive emotions. It was creating anxiety and depression for her. And because she had this wall around her heart, this invisible wall, almost like a force field, it was put up to protect her heart from being broken. But the price that she paid was that any group that she was ever with, I mean, friends that she had known, girlfriends she'd known all of her life, she always felt like she was the odd person out, like she was kind of expendable, like she didn't really ever belong anywhere. And so we started removing these one at a time, and it took us a couple of weeks. And when the last emotion was gone, suddenly that wall was gone and all of that shifted for her. Suddenly she felt like she belonged. I mean, the depression, the anxiety lifted. It was an amazing thing. And initially, Katie, I thought that maybe my wife was the only person that had this strange phenomenon going on, right? Because she and I have been married 42 years. We've got 8 kids. And I, you know, she's had a lot of interesting things. She's kind of been like my guinea pig, my wife, Jean. She's amazing. But she's had a lot of different things that I've learned from, right? And so I thought, well, this is maybe something that she has that's bizarre that nobody else has. Well, was I ever wrong? We find that about 93% of people have put up a wall around their heart when they were going through some kind of heartbreak. You know, back in the 1960s, I remember when I was a kid, I remember very well when Dr. Richard DeBakey was in the news, the first heart transplant, right? And it didn't take too long after that, as this became more routine, that doctors would notice that people would come back in and they would sometimes relate how their taste in food or music or sports had changed. Sometimes they'd have memories of being in places that they never in their life had ever been. There are whole books written about this. Of course, it's called cellular memory, right? As you know. So what the ancients believed was that the heart was the seat of the soul and the source of love and creativity and romance. And those ancient ideas come down to us today in the form of, you know, a heart-shaped box of chocolates that somebody gives you on Valentine's Day, right? Or those little heart-shaped antacid, you know, things you get on Valentine's Day, right? But those come from ancient times, and every ancient culture believed these things about the heart. And so, of course, in the West, in Western medicine, Western biology, we discount all of that. And we look at the heart as just a muscle, it's just a pump. That's all it is, right? But the ancients were right. I mean, if you think about it, when you're feeling really hurt or deeply grieved about something, there's a physical sensation that often comes with that. And you feel it here, right? If someone's really hurting you, you feel it here. By the same token, if you're listening to someone maybe performing beyond their ability, you'll get tears in your eyes, and you'll notice if you look around, everybody's got a hand over their heart, right? Because the heart is the center, just like the ancients believed it to be. It's the core of our being. And it really, now we know, is a second brain, right? There's a little brain in the heart, gray matter, white matter in there. What happens is the subconscious mind will build a wall around the heart if you feel like your heart is going to break at some point. And most people have had that experience. Something happens, you go through a breakup or a divorce or something, or somebody close to you dies or whatever it is, and you start to put up a wall to protect yourself. And so 93% of people have this wall. Well, it was amazing what happened with my wife. One of the very first people that I saw after this was really shown to us, I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined that this goes on. I'm not that creative, but it was shown to us really from up above that this goes on. Well, one of the first people that I saw after this happened was a nurse came in to see me one day. She was a new patient. She came in because she had neck pain. Her neck was about a 9 on a 0 to 10 scale. She'd seen a couple of other doctors for her. They hadn't been able to help her. And as I was talking with her, she told me that she was basically celibate. She had not dated in 8 years. Let's see, how old was she? I think she was 38 years old. She hadn't dated in 8 years. She was never going to date again. I mean, she was going to die single. She was dead serious, you know, and she was an attractive woman. And I just thought, gee, that's interesting. I've never, and I told her, what happened to you? How'd you arrive at this decision? And she said that 8 years before, she was really deeply in love with this guy who dumped her and broke her heart, right? So I tested her. And the subconscious mind, you see, knows if you put up a wall like this. Otherwise, you have no idea. It's a completely subconscious creation. And so I started asking some questions, found out that sure enough, she had a heart wall, this wall of energy, this force field. And there were three emotions making up this wall that had become trapped during the breakup from 8 years before. So didn't take long to clear those three emotions. When I cleared the last one, all of a sudden her neck pain, which was a 9, went to 0 completely. And that was it. So she left the office feeling totally fine. She got what she was looking for. Her neck pain was gone, but her heart wall was also gone. And she didn't come back for 3 months. And I'll always remember when she came back into my office, I saw her in my hallway and I said, "Hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you for a while." She said, "You know," she said, "my neck has been fine since I was here. But," she said, "you cleared that heart wall for me. And that really works." She said, "about 2 weeks after I was here, I found out my childhood sweetheart has been living right around the corner from me for almost 8 years. And we're dating and I'm in love," she said. "And I think he's going to ask me to marry him." Wow. What a shift, right? To go from celibate to almost engaged. And that's the kind of thing that happens when this wall is taken down. I mean, I cannot tell you. We've got over 10,000 testimonials from people from all over the world who have experienced things like this. I mean, whose lives have changed and who've seen the lives of other people change. It's an incredible thing. In fact, let me tell you something else. In my practice, during the last 10 years that I was in practice, most of the people that I saw had been told there was really no hope for them in Western medicine at all. They were going to have to live with their problem or die with their problem. Nothing was ever going to help them. And when I would do an exam on these people, I would check all the meridians. I would check all the chakras. I would check the organs and the glands and find that a lot of the time, all the organs and all the glands would be out of balance. You know, everything would be out of whack. And sometimes with those people, I would do one thing, and that is I would take 2 or 3 visits to just clear their heart wall, nothing else. Then I would do a re-examination on these people. And what I would find was that about 80% of all the organs and glands and chakras and meridians would all be turned back on again, and they would be starting to feel better. And so it's an incredibly powerful thing. We have so many stories of people falling in love who never, ever thought they would, even at advanced ages. People report creative ideas start to flow spontaneously because the best creative ideas that a person will ever have will not come from this brain. They'll come from this brain. And that's why when you graduate high school or college or whatever, somebody's probably going to tell you, hey, you need to follow your heart. And they're right. But what if you have a heart wall? Well, it makes it a lot more difficult, see? So that's what the heart wall is about. And it's a phenomenal thing. And like I said, I mean, I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined that this actually goes on. But I really do believe that it's a key to transforming this world. Because if you think about it, like I said, about 93% of people on this planet have put up this wall. So it's much harder for them to connect with other people on a deep level, to fall in love, to stay in love, to really create the perfect blueprint that lies within their own heart. And so when that wall is taken down, people shift. And one of the most beautiful things that we hear all the time is people telling us that they feel like they're changing and transforming back into the person that they were intended to be in this world. How amazing is that? But that's what this is really all about, see?
Yeah, well, and that is beautiful. And I think that it ties in. Now we have, you know, research about heart coherence and heart rate variability and all of these things about the importance of, and the, you know, second brain in managing all of the systems of the body. And so interesting that you saw that, you know, basically I love with your wife's dream and using this information to uncover this and then finding, you know, what a valuable thing it can be since so, and it makes sense that 93% get living in the world that we live in.
Right.
You know, and this is one of the things where sometimes when I start talking about emotions with people who have cancer, people get kind of defensive. They're like, oh, I have cancer and now you're going to say it's my fault because I'm carrying these emotions or whatever. It's like, no, no, no. We live in a world where there is so much, you know, toxicity and emotional trauma and stuff that people really, in order to survive, put up these walls, you know, and use these coping mechanisms that help them make it through whatever they need to make it through. But then there are consequences associated with it.
Yeah, it's not their fault. It's just a very natural phenomenon that we all go through. But now we're beginning to realize what a toll it's taking on us.
Yeah.
But luckily, we also have a really simple, easy, fast way to get rid of that emotional baggage. You know, the Emotion Code book, it actually contains the whole entire method, right? So a person can learn the whole method by just reading the book and practicing the method and using it on their friends and family members. And then, of course, if they want to really master it or do it, you know, as a do it for a living. We have people all over the world that are doing that too. So we have certification programs available for that.
Yeah. Well, and can you describe the magnets? What is the magnet doing to clear that? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, great question. Well, what I learned was that, of course, we have all of these acupuncture meridians in the body that flow all over the place, and there are primary meridians and there are, you know, the extra meridians and so on. But basically, one of the most important meridians is one that we call the governing meridian. And it starts in the tailbone and it goes straight up the back and over the top of the head to the inside of the upper lip. What we have found is that, of course, that meridian is a energy reservoir and it connects with all the other meridians in the body. So when you're trying to release a trapped emotional energy, it works to use some other form of energy to put some other kind of energy into the body. And magnetic energy is the easiest, most ubiquitous kind of energy that's all over the place. I mean, everybody has a fridge magnet. When I was first developing this, I was using magnets that were, you know, pretty expensive professional magnets. And I thought that that's what you needed. And then as I was writing the Emotion Code book, I got to a point where I realized, okay, well, people are going to spend $20 on this book. And then I'm going to tell them they've got to spend $150 on a magnet to do this. And I realized I had never really tried other magnets. So I started researching it and tried all kinds of different magnets and found that any kind of a magnet works. Positive polarity, negative polarity, strong magnets, weak magnets, they all work just the same. And so, you know, if you have think about it this way. The most powerful healing device in your home may be the, you know, the Hello Kitty magnet on your fridge or the business card from your plumber, right? And in fact, really, we now realize you don't really even need to use a magnet. You can use your hand. And what we do is we just will pass a hand. If you're working on yourself, you can just pass your hand over the governing meridian like so a few times. You can use any length of the governing meridian. It works anywhere. Your hand is also, you know, it's biomagnetic. And it's really all about intention. And so this brings in the whole quantum physics aspect of this, really. You know, Einstein said the medicine of the future will be the medicine of frequencies. Well, that's what this looks like. And so it's different from Western medicine, of course, in these really profound ways. But the beauty of it is that it's so simple. And yet, you know, the results can be so powerful and so life-changing. When you give the body, when you ask the body what it really needs, and you give the body what it actually wants, wow, things can change really rapidly. And so, yeah, that's kind of what it's about. So when we use a magnet on somebody, what we do is we go through this little process of identifying a trapped emotion. And we ask about where the emotion is. And again, asking the subconscious mind, the binary computer, what we do is we'll use a chart. This is the emotion code chart. And we'll ask, okay, let's say, for example, you're dealing with, maybe you have a migraine headache or something. What we could do is we could ask, give a trapped emotion that's contributing to this problem. And if we get a yes answer, either muscle testing you, or you can also muscle test yourself as a practitioner or a user, you would then ask, okay, is the emotion in column A? If that's a no, weak answer, then that means it's in column B. There are 60 emotions on this chart. It's divided into two columns and six rows. So we just use a process of elimination. So let's say we find, oh, it's in column B. Then we would ask, is it in an odd row? And we're talking to the subconscious. Maybe it says yes. Okay. Is it in row one? No. Is it in row three? Yes. The subconscious knows what the emotion is that we're after, right? And so now we're in column B, row three. So we'll ask, well, is it confusion? No. Defensiveness? Maybe that's a no. Is it grief? Yes, it's grief. Then we would ask, do we need to know more about this? And the reason why we ask that question is the subconscious mind sometimes needs to have more information brought to conscious awareness in order to close the loop. So you might need to know when this happened. Typically, if you need to know more, that's usually what you'll need. And so let's say we find out, let's say you're 40 and we asked, okay, did this occur earlier than age 20? No. Between 20 and 30, maybe that's a yes. Okay. Between 20 and 25, maybe that's a no. Around age 26, maybe that's a yes. Age 26, grief age 26. And then I would ask, does that ring a bell? And you might say, well, yeah, you know, my boyfriend broke up with me then or something happened. And we could ask, is that what created this? Okay, that's a yes. Do we need to know more? Maybe that's a no now. And then to release the energy, again, you could just swipe like this or on any portion of the governing meridian. Or like if I were there working with you, I'd probably, my habit is just go straight down the back, down the spine a few times, three times to release an energy like that. And then that energy is gone. The beautiful thing about that is none of us in the 35 years that we've been doing this work, none of us have seen a trapped emotion released in this way ever come back. So that loop is closed permanently. And, you know, you have to ask certain questions and then the subconscious mind needs to give you a no answer when you ask the last question is, do we need to know more about this? And if the subconscious says no, then that means you swipe a few times, the loop is closed, the energy is released from the body, and you're done. And you'll never see that one again. And that doesn't mean that, like in this case, if you have a trapped emotion of grief from age 26, that doesn't mean you might not have another one from age 10 or something. I mean, that's possible. You can have more than one. But anyway, the beautiful thing about this is, as you go through this process, you're able to identify, ultimately, all your emotional baggage and get rid of it all. And then it's just a matter of emotional hygiene for the rest of your life, checking periodically to see if you've developed any new emotional baggage. But what this process does for people is it raises their emotional intelligence quotient because they realize now about all their emotional baggage that they've released. And so people are a lot more careful with emotions and they tend to be more aware of getting too involved or too emotionally overwrought. They're also aware of allowing an emotion to be felt and then to dissipate by itself rather than just stuffing the emotion, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think just this idea of being aware of the loop you know, that were intended to close these loops, and you can keep these loops open by suppressing or, you know, really going into that emotion and kind of holding on to it. So I think that just even understanding what you've explained today increases people's emotional intelligence because you can see, oh, okay, emotions are meant to be experienced and moved through. And, you know, you can start to develop a habit where I think a lot of people just get confused. They feel emotions, they don't want to feel them. It's not appropriate for whatever, you know, in the current situation. And then they just stuff it down and ignore it. But I think this allows people to have awareness that, oh, we really need to pay attention to the way that we experience our emotions and allow them to flow through us. So this has been so beautiful to talk to you. And yes, the Emotion Code book is amazing. So absolutely, I recommend that. And the most recent book is the Belief Code, right?
Well, we have the Emotion Code and and then we have the Body Code.
The Body Code.
Yeah, the Body Code book that just came out recently. And that's a way that you can use to identify all these other imbalances that can go on in the body. It's kind of like the Rosetta Stone for the subconscious mind to be able to learn the code, how to ask questions and find out what's going on with you in these six different areas. And then the Belief Code is not a book, but it's a method of finding those subconscious negative belief systems and getting rid of those. It's our third level of certification is what it is.
Got it. And so if people want to find you, they can find you at?
Yeah, our main website is at discoverhealing.com. And then I have a personal site, drbradleynelson.com. And of course, we're on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, Instagram and all the social media channels, et cetera.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you and have you share your wisdom with us. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Katie. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining me on Born to Heal. It's been a privilege to share this time with you, and I hope that today's episode has offered you valuable insights on your journey toward optimal health. Please consider subscribing, sharing this podcast with your friends, and leaving us a review. To learn more about how you can work with me, please visit katiedeming.com. You can find additional resources in the episode show notes linked below, and remember to join us next week as we continue to explore more holistic approaches to healing. Until then, this is Dr. Katie Deming reminding you that just like me, you were born to heal.